Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 25. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great above before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until that day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Let's just bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, a people that want to hear your word, a people that want to hear your still small voice. We come before you this morning, Lord, a people who want to be obedient to you. So we ask that by your grace, you help us to be just that, obedient, faithful, loving people of God, children of God, working in our community for your glory alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. When I was praying and reading and contemplating this sermon this morning, God gave me two questions for you to ponder from the outset. The first one is, do you believe? Do you believe? It's a very simple question. It's quite poignant at this time of the year as we are in Advent, expecting Christmas, remembering the Christ who came, the Christ who will come again. Do you believe? The question is as pertinent for those who do not yet believe as for those who do believe, and the question remains relevant. Do you believe? The second question is this: are you ready? Are you ready? This passage is packed full of nuggets of biblical and scriptural instruction. It's full of it. We will pick out a few of them today. If you want to follow along, and I please encourage you to do so in the Pew Bible, it's on page 855, page 855. But it's packed full of the most incredible stuff. And let's take a look at some of them. Do you believe, though? And are you ready? Do you believe? Are you ready? Simple, honest questions. Have any of you ever been in the right place at the right time? You know that you have been in the right place at the right time. I had an experience several years ago when we were holidaying in France. And we were on a campsite, this beautiful campsite in Brittany, and a lovely swimming pool. And the sun was shining, and I wanted a dip in the pool. So I was in the pool. But as I was swimming around in the pool and lying on my back and looking at blue skies and thinking of the grey skies of Ulster, my eyes were drawn to a toddler. And this toddler was in his nappy and walking around the outside edges of the pool. And I thought, well, there must be somebody watching this kid. And I looked, and I couldn't discern if there were any parents anywhere nearby. And so my swimming then took on a sense of purpose as I swam in the contours of the pool, following the child as it toddled around the edges of the pool. And as you might expect, the child slipped, went into the pool, but I had grabbed it by the neck. It's probably an assault these days. I grabbed it by the neck and had yanked it up. It was wearing one of those, you know, don't get sunburned suit things. Grabbed it and yanked it out of the pool, set it on the side of the pool. At this point, Mum and Dad woke up. Not that it reflects on me, but I happened to be in the right place at the right time. And I believe, and firmly believe to this day, that was God. I do. This story of Zechariah being in the temple, do you know that the chances of him actually being there were 1 in 20,000? I'll tell you why. Every descendant, male descendant of Aaron, was automatically a priest. Tough luck if you didn't want to be a priest. You were a priest. All right? Every male descendant of Aaron was automatically a priest. That meant that there were upwards of 20,000 priests. They had way too many priests. So they were divided into 24 cohorts of roughly just less than 1,000 each. Each cohort only served in the temple 2 weeks in the year. All 20,000 served at the time of Passover or the Feast of Tabernacle, and that took up 4 weeks, and so they only had another 2 weeks of the year in which they all did their jobs. In other words, that'd be like Simon and I just working for 6 weeks in the year. Good deal, I think. We would be happy with that. Yeah, we're nodding. We're comfortable with that. 6 weeks in the year. The 2 weeks that the cohort did work were decided by the drawing of lots. And then further lots were drawn to decide who ended up in the temple, lighting the incense, burning the incense. So our Zechariah, a direct descendant of Aaron and a priest, his chances in human terms of being in that place at that time were 1 in 20,000. But we know that it was not left to chance. We know that that was a God-ordained meeting with a messenger from God, with a singularly important message that answered Zechariah's prayer. But this is what I love about God. Well, it's one of the things I love about God. Notice what happens with the prayer. So we can assume, and we're told, that Zechariah and Elizabeth were of advanced years. They were barren. That meant she was eternally ashamed and shamed. And they continued to pray. They would have prayed faithfully for a child. And perhaps every now and again, their prayer would have ebbed and flowed. And they would have been encouraged, and then had days when they would have, like the tide, been sucked out and felt low. But they continued to be faithful, and Zechariah finds himself in the temple at this time, burning the incense, and the angel appears and says, God has heard your prayer. God has heard your prayer. And Zechariah listened. In fact, Zechariah put himself in a place where he could listen and could hear. His prayer was faithful and consistent, therefore he was open to hearing. And of course, he was in a place of worship, which would have been at peace and beautifully peaceful at that. So he was in a good place to hear the response of God, to hear this messenger say, God has heard your prayer. You will have a son. You will name him John. Then he goes on to tell him about John. Here's what's quite cool. God has dealt with the personal response. He has responded to the personal prayer of Zechariah and Elizabeth with a suprapersonal answer. He went beyond the personal, and the prayer, answered prayer, wasn't just helping Zechariah and Elizabeth. It was to help the whole nation. God sees the big picture. Now, that, for me, is a scary bit. My prayer could have more importance than just for me. God will use my prayer and do more with it for others. Prayer then becomes a great personal responsibility, doesn't it? You need to be careful what you pray, because its impact and import goes beyond the personal to the suprapersonal, to everybody. And this John, was going to be the guy who foretold the coming of the Messiah. And in his work, he would change the hearts, the hardened hearts of a nation back to God. All because one barren couple asked for a child. But what a child they got. What a child they got. And so, that's our John. That's our Zechariah. That's our Elizabeth. That's our picture of this divine meeting, divinely ordained meeting with a messenger from God. What's Zechariah's response? Are you sure? Did I hear you right? Are you wise? Kind of strange. I wouldn't be too hard on Zechariah. I mean, let's face it, he would have known about Abraham and Sarah. Where did this unbelief come from for this blameless man, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord? Yet, he still had a moment of unbelief. And I would suggest that's you and me on a daily basis. Yes? Yes. We're not infallible. We're not perfect. I don't care if you're 93 or 13. Your faith ebbs and flows and wanes and rises as we go through life. The important challenge is to remain engaged in it as we go along, to listen to the word, to be fully engaged in the word, to be part of worship, to do your utmost, to be disciplined, to be under the discipline of Jesus Christ in your walk with him. I put it to you that if you are in that mode of operating in your faith, you've got a much better chance of remaining faithful than if you simply walk away. It's logical. We're human. That's logical. We're made by God. That makes sense. Fully engaged, get to know him more. Not as engaged, can't really gurn if you don't know him. So here is a fully engaged Zechariah still having some doubts. Don't be too hard on him. Don't be too hard on him. He's just been given a huge message. And in his head and heart, he's trying to get all that understanding focused on this one child that he's been told is coming. And this child isn't just for him. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. And then we have the picture of getting a people prepared. To make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And of course that then speaks right into our here and now. Right into 21st century Darlingstown in Maryland. As we sit here in Advent. Ready to celebrate the Christ who came. Ready to welcome the Christ who will come again. And our job is so simple and clear, it's we have to get a people ready. But I would put it to you that it's easier to do if you're ready yourselves. Hence the question from the Lord, are you ready? Are you ready this Christmas? Do you believe this Christmas? Because we have a massive job to do, but we don't do it alone. And one of the beauties of delivering all those little hot chocolates last week wasn't just in the fact that we were delivering hot chocolate. It was that we did it together. We did it together. And it was wonderful. Though I am amazed at the number of people in Darlingstown and Maryland who are still in their jammies at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We have another challenge, all right? We have another challenge. But there you go. We did it together. We made it our intent to go to our people, to invite them to our services, to hear about our God, that they too might believe and be ready. That was our intent. That is what we did. And we did it and do it and continue to believe and do so expectantly. I am of the belief that many will come because of it. But not just that, because we will be consistent and not slap ourselves on the back and say, well, are we a great bunch of people? We will do more. And we will continue to do more because that's how you get a people prepared. How can they be prepared if you don't help them be ready? If they don't even know how to do it? The D-Day landings. 2 million men ready to go. 7,000 ships ready to go. 18,000 aircraft ready to go. Planning done from as early as 1941 in preparation for some time in 1944. two groups of dates had been identified. The 4th to the 7th of June, the 18th to the 20th of June. Eisenhower and all his generals are sitting in the room. The date designated is June the 5th. And they're sitting in the room and they're contemplating what they need to make decisions about next. Who's the most important person in the room? A guy called Group Captain James Stagg. Why? Because he's the weather forecaster. And he has a message. And the message is this. June the 5th isn't looking very good. June the 5th will be cloudy. Whilst there will be a good moon that our troops can see the beaches at night, it will be obscured by the clouds. The sea will be a little rougher. There will be more rain. My information tells me that we have to wait. Eisenhower has a decision to make. Does he listen and believe the messenger with the weather forecast? Or does he commit 2 million men, 7,000 ships, and 18,000 aircraft in the hope that the messenger is really talking off the top of his head and has got it wrong? But he listens to the messenger. And he postpones by 24 hours to the 6th of June 1944. And the rest, as we say, is history. Eisenhower had a choice. Messenger, I don't trust completely, I don't believe, or I will fully believe and act accordingly. This book, you don't need an angel to visit you. This book is a message from God. You have a choice. Do you believe it? Or do you want to put it off to another day? I submit that the only important day is right here and right now. Right here and right now. You have a decision to make today. Do you believe? And are you ready? We know the story. Zechariah's unbelief leads to him being struck dumb. He was also possibly deaf. He comes out of the temple and is making the most bizarre sign language to a crowd waiting there to hear the message from God at that particular time. He couldn't deliver it because of his unbelief. And so he had to wait 9 months before he could speak again. And this child that they had prayed for was born. This child that wasn't just for them, that was for everyone. This child who would transform the world. And he wasn't even the greatest child to be born. He was the forerunner of who would come, the Messiah. We are the forerunners of the coming Christ, and the moment is nigh. Imagine that. I'm excited. You should be excited. I'm excited about being a John. I'm excited about being a John. I'm excited about pointing to Jesus. I'm excited that we got together last Sunday and we all went out as Johns and we pointed to Jesus. I'm excited. We are getting a people prepared. And our brothers and sisters in many, many, many different parts of the world are doing exactly the same. We are not alone. It is amazing. You heard from Greg Venables here a couple of weeks ago. They're doing it in Argentina. You're going to come and get a big fry next week. They're doing it in Africa. It's happening everywhere. We are not alone. Ignore the news. Ignore the rubbish. Be more discerning. Look straight down the scripture. And victory is ours. We are getting a people prepared for a glorious victory parade. And it's coming. But our moment is now. Now. Do you believe? And are you ready? Now, there's going to be prayer ministry at the end of this service. Those questions should be thumping in your heart. Are you ready? Do you believe? Are you ready? Do you believe? Don't sit. Don't prevaricate. Get up off your backside and come down here. And be ready. And be believers. If you want to renew your faith, reinvigorate your faith, enlarge your faith, I don't care what you want to call it, get up and come down. If you've never been there before, please, please get up and come down. Or if you want to do it privately and quietly, because I know that getting up and coming down is not easy. Come and see Simon or myself. And we can do that privately, quietly, respectfully. But the questions remain. Do you believe? And are you ready? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts right here and right now. Open our ears and our minds to what it is you are saying to us. Help us, grant us, as we've just prayed, the courage to respond, that we might believe, that we might be ready, that we might have a heart full of excitement for getting others ready too. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Let's just take a moment just to respond ourselves. Let's stand.
There must be more than this. Oh, breath of God. Come breathe within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, we wait for you. Fill us anew. Fill us anew, we pray. Consume me, fire, fan into flame. A passion for your name. Spirit of God, would you fall in this place? Lord, come like a rush.
Folks, that's really the best thing about robes. You can wear your jammies all day long. It's one of the best things. I'm going to invite Ruth forward. Just grab a seat for just a second, folks. And Ruth's just going to share one more little announcement for us.
Thank you. It's just one brief announcement. It's two things. It's firstly to say a thank you to everybody who lifted a tag from the tree last week. All the tags went for the Christmas presents for our CAP families, and for that we're really grateful. It's fantastic to see all the presents down there. And just to encourage you, if you took a tag, please bring your gift for next Sunday at the latest. Also, though, then we were asked as a centre if we would help to provide for the hamper ministry along with Emmanuel Church. And we've committed to try and provide 180 cartons of biscuits for families in need throughout Lurgan. Your generosity last week meant that I went off to Marks and Spencer's and filled my car with 60 boxes, which are all down by the tree, and that's fantastic. So it's just to ask, the suggested donation for a packet of biscuits is £3. If you happen to have a spare £3 in your pocket today, would you consider maybe just giving it to myself or Alan, Basil, Hubert at the end of church, so as we can bless families in need at Christmas time, along with the rest of the hampers we'll receive. Thank you.
Fantastic. And folks, so just as we go, just please do remember all the things that have been announced. We'll see you tonight at 5:30. A reminder as well, if you haven't updated your details, that you can do that down at the info point. I think we've got about 450 people in our system so far, but we've got a few more to gather up. So if you have never done that, please do that. We are going to now have some prayer ministry here by the tree, between the tree and the exit door. I'm sure that's breaking some sort of law, but please do go there and receive prayer. And there's also tea and coffee at the back. And just to make a wee notice about that, we all really enjoy the tea and coffee, but we would love it if we could have more volunteers. And you know, if you signed up today at the info point, you would do it less often than Zachariah lit the incense. You would do it twice a year, just twice a year. So please, if you would like to do that and you'd like to help out with the ministry in that simple but very important way, please do, as you go and have your lovely cup of tea or coffee, consider going to the info point and signing up as well. I'm just going to pray. Let's stand together. And then we'll go to the coffee ministry and the prayer ministry here and all of that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all Carlton has shared there about being believers and being prepared. Lord God, let us today take that brave step of saying before you, making a kind of covenant with you, that we will believe you and we will make our lives centered around this idea of being ready and willing and able to walk in your way. Father, let us respond in that way. Thank you so much, Lord, for the blessing of just some fellowship and some coffee together now. And we just pray you bless our conversations there. And thank you for Charlene's project. And thank you for Christians Against Poverty and for Marie Curie and all the things that we've heard about today. Lord God, bless your people, your prepared people as we go to do your prepared works. And we do it all in the power of the Holy Spirit. So fill us up and send us out, we pray. Consuming fire. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. See you tonight. 6:30 for Contemporary Carls, 5:30 if you're coming along to party and get your face painted.